During the COVID-19 pandemic, people have been reluctant to go to the emergency room. They're also hesitant to go to the doctor's office.
That's right. But when in doubt, go get checked out and head to the ER. And this is Chick to Chick.
Carrie, that is an important theme. When in doubt, check it out. During this COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of people have been reluctant to go to the emergency room. They might be reluctant to take their child to the doctor's office and delaying emergency care, especially when you're talking about symptoms of a stroke or symptoms of a heart attack. That could be a fatal mistake if you don't get in immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it. People say, well, I don't want to go in. Like, what if somebody is sick in there? I don't want to get COVID in there. And really, they need to continue with not only routine care, but if there's a major issue, you really do have to still take care of yourself.
Hospitals are taking measures. They are taking safety precautions to make sure the ER is safe. And you really should not ignore these signs. If something's going on or if your child gets hurt, take them in and get that emergency medical care. Our guest today is Dr. Catherine McCann. She is the Division Chief of Pediatric Emergency Medicine at Penn State Health and Penn State Children's Hospital. Hi, doctor. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Doctor, let's cut right to it. Is it safe to go to the ER? What are some of the safety protocols that you have in place to protect people from COVID? And are you actually seeing a decline in emergency room visits?
So the entire Hershey Health System organization is really dedicated to keeping patients, as well as our healthcare providers and employees safe through this pandemic. We have instituted strict screening criteria upon entrance to the building so that we identify those who may pose a risk. And that includes patients and their visitors. We try to ensure that every patient is placed in the most appropriate care space, which might include a doored room for patients who are infectious or in a special negative pressure unit when at all possible. We do expect everyone to wear a mask that covers their nose and their mouth during the time that they are face-to-face with anyone else. And that includes our healthcare providers as well as our patients and their visitors.
And talk to us, doctor, why it is so important to get to the ER, anywhere from heart attacks, strokes, or children who have bad accidents, deep cuts. Why should people get to the ER?
So there are so many life-threatening medical problems or life-altering medical problems that we really can change the trajectory of the illness and the outcome if we provide care early. For many years, we've talked for trauma cases about the golden hour when we get patients to the right care promptly. Their outcomes are better after serious traumas. And this has also been shown with heart attacks and cardiac arrest. The sooner patients get the right care, the best care, and the appropriate care, the better the outcomes are for that person. And although we're in the midst of a pandemic, and that is scary for many people, we don't, you know as much about COVID maybe as we know about other medical problems, I think it would be really tragic if people have life-altering injuries, medical problems that we could have treated had they come for help. There's not an excuse for us to have people injured or dying or having complications simply because they didn't seek care. Early in the pandemic, the emergency department volumes were quite decreased. Our volumes are moving up more towards where they historically would have been in the past. And we're doing everything we can to make sure patients get cared for quickly and safely. But it's important that people have that care when they need it. You can't put off getting care for a stroke or a heart attack or a serious trauma.
Yeah, you're talking about conditions here where time is of the essence. And if you delay getting to the emergency room, you're talking about conditions here that could have a deadly impact when, in fact, if they had just gone to the emergency room and received that care, it could save their life.
Right. That's very, very true. Right. We know that from the onset of symptoms from a heart attack, to definitive care is what it decreases cardiac injury and allows people to have a better outcome. Maybe even survive, right? And we know for strokes, the sooner patients get to care, the more options providers have to decrease that long-term disability associated with that stroke. So I'm a pediatrician and I don't really take care of patients with those particular problems too often, but these are areas that have been well proven over time to really make a difference long-term in people's not only survival, but the quality of their life. And it's so important that we have as high a quality of life for, you know, all of us as is possible. And this pandemic shouldn't alter that. We know what to do to care for people with heart attacks, serious traumas, you know, infections. You know, you don't want to wait until you're at death's door before arriving. Your outcome is much better. And your long-term well-being is much better when you get care promptly.
Doctor, you're a pediatrician, and I wonder if so many parents are getting nervous about keeping up with routine care because they don't want to go into a doctor's office. What's your advice for keeping up with children, like vaccines and the like?
Yeah, so I think that the decreased use of routine healthcare by many parents for their children is sort of one of the tragedies of the pandemic, because we know that children in general are less affected by this virus. I'm not saying that it's without risk, but it's much less a risk to young children. And it would be awful if we see a resurgence in vaccine preventable diseases, which we know historically have serious and often fatal outcomes for children. So most pediatricians and family practitioners are making accommodations to do this safely. So if your child needs routine care, call your doctor, find out, you know, how they're accommodating. Often they're having well children at one portion of the day and children with symptoms of infections and whatnot at a different time of the day with robust cleaning in between. And so, you know, I just would be heartbroken if we see children having bad outcomes and deaths because they didn't get that routine care that's available and just so vitally important. There's many illnesses that we don't see very often today because of vaccination.
Doctor, this is a very stressful time. We're all dealing with, in this unprecedented time, a whole lot of stress. And unfortunately, and it's heartbreaking, kids are getting abused during this time, frustrations taken out on them. What should somebody do if they witness child abuse? Who do they report this to, and who are mandated reporters? What should they do? What's the protocol?
Yeah, so in Pennsylvania, everyone is a mandated reporter. And so if you, and you don't have to witness the abuse, if you have a concern that a child is not safe, that something harmful is happening or is at risk to happen, we are mandated to call the child line, which is a 1-800 number that you can call and make the report. And you're not reporting that you know that there's abuse. You are reporting that you are concerned for this child's safety and well-being. We know that in Pennsylvania, the actual reports received at child line are decreased about 50% over historical numbers. And yet this is an unprecedented time of stress for so many families with economic challenges, no respite. You know, you are with your kids all the time. Mm-hmm. And the usual people that make many of the reports of concerns are not seeing the children because we have fewer healthcare visits happening to well care. We don't have children in schools and daycares. And so it's really vitally important to the children's well-being that anyone who sees a child or knows of a child in whom there's a concern in our community, that you take the step and you make the report so we can learn more about what the challenges are. And hopefully, you know, the goal is always to provide help and support for families so that things are safe. And I think we often forget that when we think about these concerns. We're not accusing anyone. We're saying there's a safety risk or a concern. And hopefully through involvement of children and youth services or other child protection protective organizations, we can help the family be safer and be stronger and healthier ultimately.
Yeah, and protect these kids. And so, doctor, the bottom line here, as you said, the ER is safe. It's safe to go to the doctor's office, and we got to protect our kids. This has just been fantastic information. Dr. McCanns, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
The doctor really had some great information, and she talked about the PA Child Line, and there's an 800 number, and we do have that 800 number. It's 1-800-932-0313. And remember, we are all mandated reporters. You don't have to witness child abuse. If you simply suspect it, make the phone call. We've got to protect our kids. This is such a stressful time.
Exactly. And I also think we should write down this website that's going to help you understand more about safety measures. It's PennStateHealth.org/safety. And this was really a very vital and important podcast we did today. So we thank you for tuning in and listening to us, watching us. We always enjoy that you're finding us across social media. And hey, if you have something you want to hear from us, simply go to chicktochick.com, click contact, and let us know what you want us to chirp about. Until then, when we're back to talk and chirp about another topic.